donate, and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, I'm going to take you to the Greg Reiss report right now. Now, this is a great idea. This is something that we've been kind of working at in the tea parties around the country when it comes to taking our country back. And we know we have to do it, starting with our local county sheriff. But I'll just let Greg Reiss tell you about it. Go ahead and take it away, Style.
We Americans are under attack by our own government. We the people have no choice but to once again defend our freedom. This has all happened before, and we can learn much from the American Revolution. Starting in 1763, to pay for debts incurred from a war with France, the British began enforcing new taxes on the American colonies. In response to this, the colonies set up their own parallel government, based on a simple structure of three committees delegated to voice the will of the people. A committee of correspondence to disseminate information. A committee of inspection to enforce Continental Congress decisions. And the most important of the three, a committee of safety to act as general executive in the absence of legal authority. These committees stemmed from each community of all the colonies, and each and every local committee of safety had two missions: to provide military support and monitor political affairs. Each community delegated its own representatives to speak on their behalf at the county level, and then at the state level, where state legislatures are thereby formed, and senators are elected to represent the overall interests of the people in that state. With these committees, the 13 colonies honorably created a parallel government that lawfully nullified British rule. This compelled the crown to take it back by force, which was met by an honorable and lawful defense of the colonies, known as the American Revolution. The three-committee structure that made up this parallel government inspired our U.S. Constitution, a concept of government based upon delegation. Individuals were not elected to rule. Their only purpose was to facilitate and implement the will of the people. It was a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Each state was considered to be its own country, which was freely subordinating aspects of its own authority to a federal government. Lawfully speaking, this has never changed, but the federal government of the United States has become bloated with loyalists to the City of London and enemies of we the people. For well over a century, we the people have been coerced into becoming voluntary slaves to a multinational corporate power structure, which has increasingly dumbed us down more and more with each generation. Unconstitutional amendments have been enacted. Constitutional limits of representation have been ignored. And by accepting Federal Reserve banknotes, we have made ourselves a dishonorable nation of debtors. By continually contracting with the corporate U.S. being operated out of the Washington, D.C. city-state, Americans are perpetually surrendering their constitutional sovereignty in return for corporate benefits. We share a common enemy with our founding fathers. Today we call them globalists. Back then, they called them British, a foreign power exploiting the will and destiny of Americans. And back then, their remedy was the Committee of Safety. This is happening again today. Communities are forming their own committees of safety. An excellent example is Santa Rosa County, Florida, where the Recall Florida movement sprang from, which seeks to empower the citizens of Florida with the ability to recall county commissioners for corruption, malfeasance, and neglect of duty. The county sheriff is charged with upholding the supreme law of the Constitution, and with your county government in line with your county sheriff, citizens of that county will have the lawful parallel government they need to liberate themselves from contracts made with the corporate U.S., because the powers held by the sheriff supersede those of any government official when in the jurisdiction of that county. The PSYOP today is meant to make you feel dependent upon the federal government. but that has always been your choice. And it's not the only choice. You can contact your local sheriff and ask him about his oath to uphold the Constitution. You can form committees of safety, and you can lawfully purge your local government of corruption. But it requires action, and time is quickly running out. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All righty, this is the kind of thing that we really do, and we're, you know, we're doing more of it where I'm at. And I know that there's other counties. I know out there in Oregon you have a number of counties that want to leave the state and go to Idaho. And so, and be a part, you know, just to leave Oregon. And I mean, that's a growing movement. And more counties across the country in the red states are doing that. We have to do that. And one of the things we have to do, too, is, again, have our own economy. We've got to get away from this. Right now, the government, like he said, right now, they are weaponized against our people. They have turned on us. They have turned on us. Now, one of the good things is happening, like you have a whole lot of people in the FBI that are getting out, whistleblowers, so they're leaving. They're saying, no, we're not. The Americans are standing up, and they're fighting against this. We're seeing more and more understanding about this whole idea about going after school parents who are going to the school boards. You know, there wasn't a red wave in Congress, but Peter, there was where it comes to school boards. Our side took back a lot of the school boards across the country, and that's got the Communist Party very, very fearful. But we have to fight.
I'm a big fan of you know, the sovereign movement, or for lack of a better word. I believe everything that they say. I 100%. The problem, if there is one, comes in implementing it, you know, in a large way. But I'm 100% behind it, 100% of the time.
So now let's go back, and you were telling me about, we were talking about the vitamins, because I have two friends that are like you. They tell you no, only all food, natural food, vitamins. They would not take any of the others. And
so 50% of what's in that, well, that's not really 50%, but it's close, of what's in the Tangy Tangerine 2.5, the red powder, are the fruits, vitamins made from fruits and vegetables, the same as in that other product. So the product that you're taking, the Tangy Tangerine, the red powder that you mix with water, has everything that Nature's Balance does, but a whole lot more. I mean, it's got, in addition to the vitamins made from fruits and vegetables, it's got prebiotics, it's got probiotics, it's got antioxidants, it's got minerals, it's got a lot of stuff. And honest to God, Pastor, again, remember, I don't make any money from the sale of it. And the reason that I recommend it is because I took an oath in 1991 to help suffering humanity. This is the most effective medical nutrition I've ever seen. And as a naturopathic doctor, a licensed naturopathic doctor, I've seen just about everything, because this is what my profession does. You know, I mean, in the first 3 years after I graduated, I was a representative for a vitamin company that only sold to doctors. I know a lot about the nutritional supplement industry, you know, from the consumer's point of view, but also from the doctor's point of view and the production point of view and the manufacturer point of view. There's a lot of moving parts there. And this is the stuff that I recommend simply because it is more effective than anything I've ever seen. Now, maybe there's something out there, you know, I mean, I don't know everything. Maybe there's something out there that's better, but if there is, I haven't seen it yet. And like I said before, the nutritional supplement industry is not, I mean, it's like, you know, the wine industry. Not all wine is the same. Not all chicken soup is the same. There's a lot of variables there. There's a lot of variables. It's the same with nutritional supplements. So if you can afford the good stuff, you should get the good stuff. If you can't afford the good stuff, get whatever you can. But you must supplement with minerals. Minerals is a big deal. The minerals sold by Eiffel Health, I think it's only $21. It's a very inexpensive supplement. It gives you 60% of your body's nutrient needs, and everybody needs to be taking that supplement. And by everybody, I mean everybody, because it's a game changer. Because, you know, back in the day, I mean, everybody knows, everybody was taught in school that, you know, the pirate disease scurvy, or we've got the scurvy, which was a horrible disease, by the way. You had lesions on your skin that looked like leprosy. Your teeth fell out. I mean, it was a horrible, slow death. And it was a simple vitamin C deficiency. That's what caused it. Not enough vitamin C. And the British Navy figured this out. They didn't know what vitamin C was, but they knew that if their sailors ate limes every day, they didn't get scurvy. So the British Navy had 25-gallon barrels of lime on their boat. And that's why the British sailors were referred to as limeys, because they knew that whatever was in the lime prevented scurvy from happening. Well, guess what? Every chronic disease, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen, every chronic disease is directly related to nutrient deficiency. Directly related to nutrient deficiency. In order to strengthen your body's natural immunity, in order to strengthen your body's structural integrity, you need to give it the raw materials that it needs. And these raw materials, some of them are in the food, but not all of them. You need to fill your body's nutritional tank up so that it can do the work that God intended it to. You need to eat food. You need to drink water. You need to put warm clothes on when you're outside in cold weather. There's one more thing you need to do for your health. You need to supplement. It's mandatory. It's not optional. And the best ones that I've ever seen are sold by Eiffel Health, Eiffel like the tower, E-I-F-F-E-L, health.com. Give them a call. They're really great, 888-618-1796.
All right, or you can go, if they wanted to contact you, they can go to drglidden.com, drglidden, G-L-I-D-D-E-N.com. Now, okay, I'm gonna open the phone lines to take some calls, because every time you're here, boy, the lines all light up. But before we do that, I want to ask you a question myself. Now, you talk about limes, and my wife, every time she fixes me breakfast, she knows that before I eat, I always like to have a little a dish of lemon sections or lime sections. And now,
that's a great idea.
I was told that most of the nutrients in lemons are actually in the lemon peel itself. And so when I get the lemons, you know, I get the ones without the wax all over them, you know, and wash them off really good. And then I eat the lemon peels. But
very
now,
pure, isn't it?
I actually kind of like it myself. I eat a lot of hot food. I grow hot habanero peppers and cayenne peppers and ghost peppers, and I eat hot sauce on just about everything. Okay, but the limes, I was told that lemons are better for you than the limes, and because one of the reasons is you can eat the entire lemon and the peel, but the limes you can't eat the peel because they're not digestible.
Yeah, that's correct. Whoever told you that is correct, and I think it's remarkable that you do that with a lemon every day before breakfast. I mean, that's really, really, really good. It's really, really, really good for you in so many ways. I could talk for an hour off the top of my head about why that's so good for you. That's a fantastic thing to do. However, you want to do that at the beginning of the meal.
Yeah.
Not at the middle of the meal and not at the end of the meal. You get way much more bang for your buck if you do it at the beginning of the meal.
My dear friend who went home to be with the Lord last year, he was a naturopath like you, he told me that, Ed Corsi, and I miss Ed, he told me that a long time ago, and so...
Oh, you're ahead of the curve, Pastor. You run with a good crowd.
Yeah. All right. The phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. For you folks, you heard Dr. Glidden say he's going to be shipping me some more attempt to cure out there. Those are the ones that we are really backordered on. And also, we've got a very limited supply on. Everybody is sick, and I know why. Why don't you tell the folks about your two books before we take any calls?
Well, that's very kind of you. Everybody Is Sick and I Know Why is an overview of just that. You know, everybody is sick in this country. I mean, just look around. How many of your friends do you know are not on any prescription meds? People don't get sick because they have prescription medicine deficiency. People get sick for a lot of reasons that you're not taught about in school. I outline these reasons and help you to understand what you can do. You know, simple steps every day to optimize your body's structure and function so that it can work the way that God intended it to work. It's a very straightforward book based on decades of my clinical experience as a naturopathic doctor. Has a little bit of health history in there, and it's fun, and it's entertaining, and it's very informative, if I do say so myself. Attempt to Cure with Holistic Medicine is more like a treatment book. It's a self-help health recovery book. I give a little bit of medical history there. I give a little bit of the backstory of the evolution of medicine in the United States just to set the stage. But the meat and potatoes of that book are treatment strategies that I have seen be effective for 88 different illnesses. It's what you should do. If you have asthma, you turn to the asthma chapter, you follow those instructions, it will give your body a leg up, give your respiratory system a leg up. You've got type 2 diabetes, you've got obesity, you've got heartburn, you've got one of 88 different illnesses. They're referenced there in that book, and it tells you what to do based on not research, not on theoretical speculation, but on what myself and my colleagues have actually seen work in clinical settings.
I told you this twice. I'm going to do it very quickly because the phone lines are all filled up. But like you said, you know, everybody's taking these things. I both went to the VA, and at the VA, a doctor of nursing, she wanted to know, she asked me, what medications are you on? And I said, I'm not on any. And she says, you're not on any. I says, no. She said, you're not on any medications at your age. I said, I haven't been on any. Now this woman says, well, let's just check. Maybe you don't know what a medication is. So she gets on her little computer and she checks my file. She says, you're not on any. I said, that's what I told you, okay? That happened with her because she couldn't believe it because, and I got to tell you, most of the people I know, most of them, are on some kind of medication because most of the people I know are older people. I mean, a lot of them are older people like myself, and they're on all of these different medications for, you name it, and they're on it for high blood pressure, low blood pressure, for diabetes, for you just about name it. They're on some kind of medication, but I stay away from those things.
Well, you should. And, you know, the problem with it is, or the thing to understand, the take-home message here, is that the medications are not intended to cure anything. The medications are intended to manage things. So you never cure the high blood pressure. You never get to the root cause of why you have high blood pressure in the first place. You manage it. You never get to the root cause of the heartburn or the depression or the arthritis or the insomnia or the anxiety or the depression. They're managed with drugs. And look, thank God for insulin, thank God for lidocaine, thank God for general anesthesia and the sterile technique, but you can not drug your way to health. You can't do it. There are things that you can do to support your body's inherent God-given ability to fix itself, but that they do not necessitate the use of drugs. And just remember, if you're taking a prescription medicine, you're sweeping things under the rug. And it's only a matter of time before those chickens come back home to roost. And that's why bankruptcy and medical bills are the leading cause of bankruptcy in the United States, because the more medications people take, the weaker they become, the more dependent on the drugs they become, and then it's the last 10 years of their life is a revolving door to the emergency room, not because they have a bad gene, not because they're getting older, but because they've been sweeping their symptoms under the rug for 40 years with the pharmaceutical.
Alrighty, who do we have there, Style? Oh, hi. Imagine that. Imagine Clifford is the first one. Hey, Clifford.
Hi, Dr. Peter. You know, good novel on corporate malfeasance that just came out. I did the whole thing, The 620 Man by Dave Belushi. But just a comment before, I do have a couple of questions, but was listening, you know, on these athletes that are dying suddenly, there was something that correlated with that on the Redacted podcast. Goes back like 2 weeks. The title of the podcast is They Can't Go Back There, talking about Palestine, Ohio. But at the end of the podcast, there's the last 15 minutes, there's a reporter named Sonia who went through the Freedom of Information on the European Health Commission, 300,000 cases of people that got severe adverse effects from the vaccines, so-called vaccines, the shots, and three times the amount were women, number one, and 84% of them had no prior health issues, according to their files. So that relates, I think, to these athletes where people are in either good health or tip-top, you know, condition-wise, and they're just getting wrecked by these shots. But my question is...
Yeah, okay, what's your question, yeah?
Yeah, my question is twofold. One is, what would thumbnail would you say about people that supposedly have issues with neurotransmitters? For example, they do say that GABA, which calms you down, is hindered by alcohol use. So that'd be my first question. The second question would be, it seems like it's obvious that supplements affect hair and nails. What would you say about that? How it does seem like that's one thing that's obvious.
Well, we often see dramatic changes in hair, skin, and nails with a medical nutrition program. The nutrient to consider there, the main nutrient to consider there is biotin for the hair, skin, and nails. And when it comes to the athlete, there's a big difference between fitness and health. And this is a very important thing for people to understand. You can be physically fit. You know, you can run a 3-minute and 50-second mile. You can, you know, run the 100-yard dash in 5 seconds or whatever. You can deadlift 300 pounds, whatever. You can ride a bicycle, do the ultra marathon, right, and do all of this stuff and be physically fit, but have a really weak immune system. Have a really weak heart, have a really weak liver, have a really weak kidney, have a really weak neurological system, because there's a big difference between being physically fit and being healthy. And we see this in athletes all the time. Even before the jab, there was a preponderance of athletes who, you know, especially once they retire, their health goes right into the crapper, because they've been overextending their bodies all of the time through all of the physical stuff that they've done, and they haven't supplemented adequately. They haven't given their bodies the raw materials that they need. Tiger Woods is a perfect example. Tiger Woods broke his knee swinging a golf club, and it wasn't because he was swinging a golf club. It was because his musculoskeletal system was weak. Why was his musculoskeletal system weak? Because he was unwittingly eating all the wrong food all the time, and not taking enough bone and nutrient supplements into his body on a regular basis. Now, when we look at neurological things, you know, any type of neurological illness, even if it's a kind of an emotional thing, like a little anxious or a little problem with insomnia or whatever, the first thing to consider is cholesterol, because your central nervous system is made from cholesterol. That's what it's made from. So when you put people on low-fat diets and statin drugs, which dry up cholesterol, you get all kinds of neurological ramifications from this, which is why now on the statin drug boxes, the cholesterol-lowering statin drugs, dementia is listed as a known side effect, because your brain is like 90% cholesterol. And the medical community has it 100% backwards when it comes to cholesterol. And that is a conversation for another time. But, you know, regarding this whole nutrient supplementation thing, there are certain nutrients that are really good for certain parts of the body, like taurine is really good for the heart, biotin is really good for the skin, selenium is really good for the liver. But that's not what myself and my colleagues practice. What we practice is holistic nutrition. So we don't just give the body a couple of the things in large doses that it needs. We give the body everything that it needs all of the time. And when you give the body everything that it needs, that's a game changer, and that's when the magic happens. And that's why Eiffel Health put together something they call the Foundation Pack, because the Foundation Pack gives you everything that your body needs, 100% of it, all 90 essential nutrients. Now, once you've got those bases covered, you're in a good territory, man. And then if you want to do extracurricular supplementation with taurine for the heart or biotin for the skin, you're going to be way ahead of the curve. And honest to God, if athletes found their way to me or my colleagues, it would be a completely different athletic field, let me tell you.
All right, very good. Thanks, Cliff. Who do we have next? Hey, Cindy, you're in the air out in Chicago.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Glidden. My question is, I have a lot of food allergies, so what is the root cause of that, and how do I get rid of it all? Because I'm real tired of watching what I eat because it's going to give me welts and everything else.
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it? I'm sorry to hear that. Did your parents have the same thing?
You know, I don't know. This all started after I turned 45. I didn't have allergies when I was younger. My family, like,
very good.
Them had allergies, but it's like when I hit a certain age, it's like it all just started, and it's like, it's like I go out with everybody, I have to sit there and ask questions. What's in the food?
Yeah, I know. It's a problem, right? Yeah, I get it. I mean, I'm 100% with you. It's a big problem. So the root cause of that problem is a small intestine, a breakdown in the structural integrity of your small intestine. So it's interesting, right? Because the digestive tract is like a big tube from your mouth to your rear end. And when food is inside that tube, it's outside the body, which is kind of a mind twister when you think of it. Food doesn't enter inside the body until it's absorbed into the bloodstream, and that absorption happens in the small intestine. There are little eeny-weeny-teeny tentacle-like structures in the small intestine called villi, and on top of those villi are billions of microvilli, and they're just like little octopus tentacles that suck up the stuff that your stomach has just digested. If those anatomical structures, the villi and the microvilli, are damaged, then it's like having holes in the border wall between two countries. Because the small intestine is the border between the inside of the body and the outside of the body, and it is where your immune system lives. Your immune system central headquarters is in the small intestine. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So it's like the border guard. And when the small intestine becomes damaged, there you got holes in the border, and big molecules of food slip into the bloodstream where there should only be little molecules of food. They don't get absorbed. They pass through the holes, and that elicits an immune response, and then you're SOL, and it's a problem. So the first thing to do in this regard is you have to stop consuming food that is hurting the small intestine. You know, you wouldn't put diesel fuel into an unleaded engine, right? It's the same thing with the human body. So the biggest contender here, there are two big contenders here for damage to the small intestine. Number one, hands down, way out in front, is the gluten protein. So you have to become gluten-free. I don't even want you to be downwind of food that has gluten in it. Be 100% gluten-free for the rest of your life. Number one. Number two, you must stop eating anything that's fried. And you must stop using any oil in a bottle. No olive oil, no vegetable oil, no coconut oil, no oil in a bottle. If you're going to cook stuff in a skillet, then use lard, pig fat, duck fat, goose fat, beef fat, or butter, or a clarified butter, which is ghee, but no more oil. Because the oil and the gluten will do damage to your small intestine over time. It's a big bad voodoo daddy, and that's why this didn't develop until you're in your 40s. Because it was like death by a thousand cuts. A little bit of damage every time you ate that food, a little bit of damage, a little bit of damage, a little bit of damage. That stuff adds up, and all of a sudden the dam breaks, and you wonder what the hell's going on. So those are the first steps. You should also nutrify. If you give your body that 90 essential nutrients, that will help a great deal to stimulate your body to rebuild the villi. And that would be what I would do for the first probably 90 days, is go gluten-free 100%, stop the consumption of all oil, get a healthy foundation pack into your body, maybe with an extra bottle of plant minerals. Do that for 60 days and come back and tell me what happened.
All right, thanks. Let me ask you this: what about Italian dressing for your salad? Is that bad too?
Yeah, well, we're not fans of oil in a bottle, and this is where people really stop liking Dr. Glidden, because this is really kind of a counterculture thing. And again, this whole Mediterranean diet thing is a myth. It was started by a guy named Ansel Keys, who was just a really bad scientist, a really bad researcher, just not a nice guy. And it's become reality by consensus. So I'm not a fan of any oil consumption at all. And a lot of my colleagues will argue with me, but they're wrong, and I'm right.
All right. And we'll be back right after this.
Read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall see. Fire will flash as lightning shines from east to west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Hey man, I want to be with him. Yeah, I will be when he returns back to this earth. After with his church in Revelation chapter 19, start with verse 11, folks. That's going to happen. It's imminent. You know, God said it. You better believe it. Let's go out to Philadelphia and talk to Ron. Hey, Ron from Philly.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Ernie. Hi, Dr. Glidden. My question is, what do you know about EPI and how would you treat that?
EPI, what's that an acronym for, please?
It's intrinsic pancreatic insufficiency, I think it's called.
Intrinsic pancreatic insufficiency?
I have the symptoms of that. I was never diagnosed, but I have symptoms of that. But I don't know what to take. Like, I think I'm eating the wrong foods or something, because I'm getting like loose bowels like twice a day. And I get like the oily stools and stuff like that.
Yeah. So there's a supplement that you can take in the meantime while you're attempting to fix the pancreas that gives your digestive tract extra digestive enzyme help. And that supplement you can purchase at Eiffel Health. It's called Ultimate Enzyme, the Ultimate Enzyme. I would take one Ultimate Enzyme at the beginning of every meal. I would take two Ultimate Enzymes at the beginning of a meal if there's fat in the meal or butter or cheese or, you know, stuff like that, fatty meat or anything like that.
Should I stay away? Like, I think it's like dairy products give me a lot, like butter and milk and stuff like that give me like gas and trouble. So stay away from stuff like that, I guess, right?
Yeah, I would stay away from the stuff that you know gives you trouble, but, you know, that's not going to get to the root cause of the illness. That's just going to take the edge off of your symptoms, and that's not a bad thing. So the pancreas specifically needs the trace mineral selenium. The pancreas really responds to selenium. And as far as I'm concerned, man, everybody, and by everybody I mean everybody, nobody gets off of this hook, needs the 90 essential nutrients. I mean, your body needs vitamins, your body needs minerals, your body needs essential fats. Everybody's body needs this stuff. And the sad fact of the matter is that the stuff that our bodies need are no longer present in the food that we eat. So as time goes by, our bodies become more and more deficient, and then things start to break. And it's not because you have a bad gene. It's because your body ran out of the stuff that it needed to keep that part of the body healthy. So my recommendation would be one bottle of Ultimate Enzymes per month, one healthy foundation pack per month, one healthy foundation pack per month. And I would also try to get my hands on a botanical medicine. Hold on. I'm looking up the name of it right now. Called Chelone glabra, C-H-E-L-O-N-E, C like Charlie, H like Harry, E-L-O-N-E, Chelone glabra, G-L-A-B-R-A, Chelone glabra. Do 2 milliliters of that 3 times a day, 2 milliliters of Chelone glabra 3 times a day. Do 2 selenium 3 times a day between meals for 2 weeks. And then 1 selenium 3 times a day between meals for the rest of your life. Do the Ultimate Enzymes, do the foundation pack, and run that up the flagpole for 90 days and see if it makes a positive impact on your body. Oftentimes when we have people have weird things like, you know, this, well, maybe I've got the signs and symptoms of this disease, strange disease anyway. Nobody knows where it comes from. Often these kind of outlying illnesses or simply functions, accumulative effects of net negative nutrient deficiencies. So you have to check that box first and see how your body responds to it. You might be surprised at what effects this has across the board with your health.
Okay, thank you very much. Folks, you can also, like I said, go to drglidden.com if you need more information. Eiffel Health is... You can call them at 888-618-1796. That's 888-618-1796. Also, we've got, let's go out to New York with Josh. Josh, you're in the air.
Good evening, Pastor Sanders.
Good evening.
Thank you for your spiritually uplifting and enlightening program.
Thank you.
Dr. Glidden, do you and your fellow naturopaths have a modality of treatment for squamous cell carcinoma in the neck beyond the traditional conventional approach that is safe and effective?
I have a number of colleagues. There's a doctor in India with squamous cell carcinoma. I'd have to look it up. I think he has like a 52% success rate treating it. Mm-hmm. I have a colleague in, I'm looking it up right now, skin cancer, 86%, melanoma, 78%. It doesn't say squamous cell carcinoma, but I'm assuming that's under the skin cancer. His name is Ramakrishnan. I don't know if he takes new patients, but I have a colleague in Montreal who does. And whenever we're dealing with cancer, you have to have an individualized treatment because there's not a lot generically that you can do for cancer because it's complicated. So if anybody has any cancer whatsoever, I recommend that they have an individualized treatment. And if I had cancer or anybody in my family had cancer, I would send them to my colleague in Montreal. His name is Andre Saine, S like Sam, A like Apple, I-N-E, S-A-I-N-E, Andre Saine in Montreal. Give his office a call and see what he can do to help you. I'm sure that he can.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Glidden.
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And, you know, visit my website, please, because I keep, you know, updated information about all this stuff on the website. It's a subscription-based website, but it's a good allocation of funds. And you'll have access to resources like this, you know, for the rest of your life if you become a subscriber. And I would encourage you to do that. That's drglidden.com. Thanks so much for your kind words and best of luck.
Thanks, Josh. Who do we have next? Okay, well, we have before we go to hell, I wanted to just ask you this, because I'm almost afraid to, because you'll probably agree with my wife, and then she'll say, well, you see, I was right. Okay, I have almost an addiction to nuts. I love mixed nuts. I buy these mixed nuts, and what you've got is pistachios, and you've got pecans, and walnuts, and in there you've also got Brazil nuts and all of these now. My wife says you should only eat what you can have in your hand. In other words, you make a palm of your hand and whatever fills in there, you shouldn't never eat no more nuts than that. What do you think about that?
Well, are there any liberal nuts in your nut mix?
No, there's a lot of liberal nuts all over this country. But
so I'm in favor of nuts. Nuts are a great source of protein. Nuts are a great snack food. I'm especially in favor of salted nuts. Salted nuts would be better than nuts without salt, believe it or not. That's another mind twister, I know, but, you know, welcome to my life, Pat.
Well, these nuts have sea salt, and they are. They're mixed nuts with sea salt, yeah.
Very good. So the only reason to cut down on the nut consumption would be if they're interfering with your sleep or if they're giving you digestive upset. If they're not, then you can eat as many nuts as you want. I'm a big fan of nut consumption, especially salted nuts.
Well, I've got to tell my wife that. She blames it on now and then I get a little constipated, and she's blaming the constipation on the nuts.
Well, one of the first things to consider with constipation is not enough water. So you want to look to see how much water you're drinking on a daily basis. Water, fiber, and exercise are the first three boxes to check if you're dealing with constipation. You know what one of the best preventive treatments for constipation is?
Well, no, what?
Eat one apple a day.
I do. Apples are one of my favorite things. That's what I do eat. I do eat one a day. All righty. Let's go to, I'm sure Pastor Hal's got some questions. Pastor Hal, you're in the air.
Well, yeah, I was going to tell Dr. Glidden I was taking that lymphatic health, and that stuff really works good. And you guys put that out, I guess. And so I highly recommend it.
Yeah, very good. You know, the proof of the pudding's in the eating, Hal. And honest to God, the only reason that my profession is alive in a hostile political climate, a medical political climate like there is now, is because more often than not all the time, right? This isn't guaranteed, but more often than not, when people follow our advice, they feel better. They get positive results, and it's hard to argue with positive results. And so I appreciate your kind words, and I appreciate your open-mindedness and your ability to walk into this world with me, because, you know, not everybody would do that.
You know, one other question I want to make sure of, because I've always, whenever I've opened up the calcium and the mineral bodies, I've always refrigerated them after that. Is that necessary to refrigerate those after opening?
100%. Yeah, they'll last way longer, especially the calcium. You want to make sure that you refrigerate that. And I would also store that upside down, because that stuff is thick like paint. And it just makes it, you also give it a good shake every time you use it. And if you store it upside down, you'll just get a more homogeneous dose every time you pour it off.
Well, yeah, you're right about it being thick. What I do is I take one capful of the minerals, one capful of the calcium. Now, as it gets older, it gets thicker. And I mix that with about an inch of, or half inch of lime juice, regular lime juice in a glass, and I stir that up. And then what I take is I take sparkling water, you know, and it makes like a soda pop drink.
You know, and, you should try, just run it up the flagpole, see if you like it, is instead of lime juice, do pineapple juice and see what you think.
I've done that, but I like the lime juice better. But I've done that, yeah, the pineapple is good too. But,
well,
but
one man's ceiling is another woman's floor, Pastor.
Yeah. there you go. All right, folks. Dr. Peter J. Glidden, he's right here. You know he's okay because he's with us, right? Here you go. And you
Thanks
can go
so
to
much, Pastor. It's always a pleasure.
It's in Eyeful Health. He's talking about that number again. Is well, it's eyefulhealth.com or 888-618-1796. And we have the books. Well, we're going to get some for you folks that are back ordering an attempt to cure. As soon as we get the new shipment, you'll get yours. The books are dynamite. They're absolutely dynamite, especially when it's with an attempt to cure, because it starts from A to Z. And all of these different ailments, and I've tried them, and they work. It tells you what to use, like fibromyalgia, for example. You know, here you got almost a half a page on that. Fractures, broken bones.
Fibrocystic breast disease, yeah.
Yeah, fibrocystic. You know, you've got all this things you can take. And so here you go. Folks, the book, we have it right here. And we'll have some more in as soon as he gets them in. And then we'll tell you what kind of a donation, because we have Pledge Week coming up pretty soon on that. So with that, how much time do we have, Style? Okay. With that, you know what time it is. It's time for Pastor Hal to do his things. Hal, you've got 5 minutes.
Okay, you know, I was reading in the Bible where Jesus was talking in the temple, and he was telling the Jews and the whole Jewish nation, except you believe I am he, you shall die in your sins. And this is a message that tells you that, you know, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Messiah, your Savior, your, you know, as God manifest in the flesh, paying the price for our sins on that cross. And there's no exception. No human being gets by in this world without, you know, the blood atonement of Christ to get to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he said, no man, again, Jew or Gentile. And Gentile means everybody that's not a Jew. And John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Everybody listening to my voice right now is a creation of God, but even the devil is a creation of God. What gets you to heaven is once you become a son of God. And that happens the very moment you receive Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior. What happens then is God's Holy Spirit comes into your heart, and he gives you a new birth, a spiritual birth into God's family. That means that you become a son of God right then and there, and not just a creation of God. And John 3:3 says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you need that spiritual birth to go to heaven. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's the only way we can get redeemed, is when you go to Calvary, repenting about the fact you're a sinner, because he said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Repentance is admitting something to God that he knows already anyway, that born into this world, we're all sinners. We need to have that sin washed away to get to heaven. Because you see, God loves you, but he hates your sins. God wants you to go to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that can wash away those sins is the blood of Christ. So if you want to go to heaven, it's not by your good works. Titus 3:5 said, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Your good works, if you could quit sinning right now and never sin again, your good works ain't going to wash away one sin you've already done. But the blood of Christ can wash away all the sins of the worst sinner that ever lived, or that one sin. and that's what we need to get to heaven. And that's it's not your church membership or anything else. So if you want to go to heaven, Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, because God allowed him to transfer your sin and mine onto his son Jesus. So when Jesus said it is finished, that meant all the work necessary for you to go to heaven has been done. But now it's simply up to you what you're going to, if you go to heaven or hell, what you do with that finished payment. You can pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart, or you can try and get there your own way, which ain't going to work. Now, if you want to go to heaven God's way, then say a prayer with me right now. God hears me talking to you right now. He's knocking at the door of your heart right now. Ephesians 2:8-9 says it's a free gift. He did all the work. Now it's a free gift he's offering you. If you open up the door of your heart and let him come in as your Savior, being sorry about the fact you're a sinner, pray this prayer with me. I urge you to do this. Oh, dear God, I confess unto you that I'm a sinner, and I sin against you in thought, word, and deed, and I need your salvation. I need your forgiveness. And Lord Jesus, I here and now ask you to come into my heart. Give me the payment you paid for me on that cross. Give me eternal life, for I receive you as my way to heaven. I receive you as my Savior right now, and I thank you for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Believe on is more than just believe about. Believe on meant you received him as your Savior. Why did he say this? That you may know you have eternal life. Not that you may think it, wish it, or wonder about it, but that you may know. How can you know? Because God said so. He gave you that promise, and God cannot lie. So that means if you prayed that prayer right now and meant it with simple childlike faith with all your heart, I'll see you in heaven someday, and praise God. Go ahead, Pastor.
All righty, very good. Well, again, we want to I want to say thanks to Peter to be here tonight with us. And I want to thank all the folks out there listening. And I want to thank all of you for your support, your contributions, and all of those nice letters. And I want to remind them how they need to know that every one of those that send in, sometimes they won't even ask for, prayer or anything. They just send a donation. And we take that and we pray for those people whosever name is on that envelope. We ask that God would give them blessings. So you get prayed for because, and here's the reason, we really do believe in prayer here. We really, really do. I mean, for real here. This is why we are always trying to convince you folks out there that there's power in prayer. If you only understood that, if you understood how much power there is in that prayer, a whole lot of you would be praying a whole lot more, I think. But anyhow, we are out of time for tonight. Peter, thanks for being here. And again, as we get to this time every night, remember what you just heard there. God's word is real. So until tomorrow, as we do this every night at this time, we want to say, well, God bless, good night, and always, always, let's do it.
Keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.